Francis Metro Church. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Can we, if you have an amazing mom, if you have the best mom on the planet, let me hear you give a little something for your mom. Let's hear it. Amazing moms, we are all here because of our mom, right? That's right, that's right, that's right. Pastor Tim has asked me to speak today. It's been a long-standing tradition that I speak on Mother's Day, so I'm very thankful for the opportunity to come today and be here with you. I'm sorry if you were expecting him. He'll be back next week after men's retreat, okay? So today I wanna talk to you about, as you saw this video, it's kind of priming the pump for what our subject is today. And if you're an athlete in here, man, that drives you, right? You like that, but even if you're not an athlete, I hope you found something in that that motivates or inspires you to want to do something. Whatever hill you're trying to climb, hopefully that's going to get you ready for what God's going to tell us here today. As I prepared this week, I do want you to know that I first heard the Lord telling me about this message today, that he was convicting me in my own life about what he wants to share with us today. So believe me, I've already kind of been there with him this week. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. You can turn that in your app, or if you have your actual Bible. I don't know how many people carry that anymore to church. You know, you can't judge people for playing on their phones in church anymore because they're looking at their Bible. Have you ever noticed that? It's a thing, a sign of the times, isn't it? All right, so we're gonna be looking at Philippians chapter 3. And what we wanna do is talk about the persistence of the press. The persistence of the press. Paul wrote half the New Testament, over half the New Testament. And in his writings, in several places, he uses the term press on, right? So we see that throughout scripture in the New Testament where Paul was writing. So today, we're gonna dive into what he meant by that and how we can take that. Every Sunday, when you come in here, it's our desire, mine and Tim's, that you leave with something you can use in your life immediately. Some kind of application that you can walk out the door and put to use. You can apply it to your home, to your career, to your relationships, to your standing with God, where you are in your journey with him. So today I hope that you find something with which to take outside these walls today. So let's look at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 12, and we're really going to go one verse at a time. One verse at a time and really break it down. So verse 12 says this, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Don't you love Paul? I haven't arrived. I am not perfect. So if anyone was thinking that they were perfect today or they had arrived, sorry to disappoint you right off the bat. So here we are, not perfect, haven't arrived, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. So let's just lay a foundation for the day, for the next 20 minutes of what we're gonna be talking about. What Paul says here is, listen, I've learned to make my faith my own thing because Christ Jesus made me his own, which means what I've done is I've internalized my faith. I've decided to pay attention and cultivate it where there's some depth down in me. What we realize as adults is that we can't rely on the religion we were born in to carry us through forever. What we have to realize at some point as adults, if you haven't gotten there yet, I hope you do today, that you have to pick up your own relationship with the Lord, right? You're not just born into something and you always know God. No, at some point you choose the Lord to be in your life. You choose the Lord to lead you. So here we are, Paul is saying, you gotta make it your own. And why do we have to do that? Why do we need to have a personal faith, a deep belief, a determined focus in him? Because he has had all those things for us. Christ Jesus has made me his own. When we sing a song like Resurrecting, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. Can I get an amen on that? So good. Yes, that's right. So good. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. He has done it all for me. He has been very personal with me, just like he's asking us to be with our faith. He has had a deep belief in me as a person. He's had a deep belief in you as a person. And he has a determined focus for your life. And so we're gonna marry these two concepts and lay the foundation for the rest of this passage. Paul is saying here, listen, there's something you're gonna have to do and you're gonna have to understand why. This is the foundation for what we're doing. So let's think about this. The persistence to press on implies there's something to press against. Does it not? See that relationship there? The persistence to press implies there's something we're pressing against. If you had plenty of room or a large margin or plenty of time, plenty of space, you wouldn't really have to push yourself or press yourself But spiritually, physically, mentally, when you have to press against something, well, everything goes up another level, right? I thought of this illustration. Because in the back of my mind, I don't know if it's just me, but in the back of my mind in life, there's this little thing in the back of my head that says, you can just quit. Does anybody have that? I mean, you have to shut that voice up eventually, right? I mean, anybody know what I'm saying? Like, but it whispers to you faithfully, you can just quit. There's an option to quit. We have to get to the point where we shut that voice up and say, no, I'm not gonna quit. But there's something right there with us. When we find ourselves in the place where we're having to press in life, something telling us to quit. When I, this will be fun. So moms, labor, anybody wanna quit that? Let's quit that. And everybody got real quiet, like this just got uncomfortable. Here's the thing, you're all here because your mom decided to press. Can I get an amen? So let's just go ahead and say that. Here's the thing about this illustration is this. I somehow, in my first two children, missed the treat that was an epidural, okay? Yep, missed it altogether. Missed the window, can't have the pain medicine if you don't get there in time, all right? FYI, for all of you that haven't had children yet and are hoping to, get there early so you can get the good stuff. So by the third one, I was determined to have the drugs, the epidural, like the pain medicine that makes it all go away and you just blissfully have a baby. It just happens, right? That did not occur for me. I also got there too late for Silas, apparently. So when they came in the room and they said, listen, we're not gonna be able to do this. I was in so much pain already. I laid my head back on the table and literally broke down like a little baby. I just lost it completely. And I'm not really that person. I wailed, I screamed, I scarred Raquel for life. She was in the next room like, why are they doing this to her? It was awful. It was a scene. And Tim, my faithful coach, is there to say, listen, little trooper, it's coming. There ain't nothing you can do to stop it. So let's get this show on the road, right? He didn't actually say that. I would have punched him in the face if he would have said that. He was a great coach. He was a great coach. But in that moment in my mind, I was like, no, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. It hurts too much. I actually am so familiar with now I remember the pain. Do you realize you forget it and then you get back in that situation? You're like, oh yeah, I remember. It's so bad. And so you get in the middle of that and you think, I don't wanna do that. It's way too hard. It's gonna hurt too much. Something telling you to quit, but you can't quit. Can't quit on that, can you? Amen, moms, can't quit on that. Thank your mom today for all the pain that she endured just in those few hours of her life. We could stop right there. All right, other reasons that I think we find ourselves quitting. Lots of things in life come at us. Lots of things in life. Pressure. Nothing worse than that invisible pressure. Pressure at home, pressure with finances, pressure at work, pressure from friends, peer pressure, social media pressure, corporate ladder pressure, all the things that add up in our lives. You may have one on that list, you may have all of them on that list. But pressure is hard to work through. It is difficult to fight through pressure when it's mounting and mounting. And that voice, your mind, that battle that's happening and that's raging in your mind is saying it's okay to quit. You don't need to worry about finishing that. What about expectations that people may have of us that we think there's no way that I could ever live up to their expectations, so I should just quit now? Certain personalities are going to struggle with that more than others, right? If you have this perceived notion of what people expect from you and you don't think you can do it, you might just quit before you get started because it's just going to be too hard. What about a process that's maybe taking too long? You thought it was gonna take one amount of time, but it's drawn on and on and on, and you're ready to be done, but you can't. What about the excuse of, I've tried before and it didn't work out for me, so I'm gonna quit that. I'm not gonna work on that. This is what the word tells us when it comes to quitting. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And also, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives in me. So when we sing songs like Resurrecting, the words in there are powerful because my Bible tells me the formula by which I can find strength to take the next step. Greater is he that is in me. That means the power that God gives me, the power that's in me, is greater than any pressure that I feel out here. The power that's in me is greater than any presence I may face out here. The power that is in me is going to give me what I need to press persistently in life and be a person who's marked by persistence, having pressed through the hard times. You see, we tend to press when the pressure is on because it's go time. We tend to press when life gets difficult, when life gets confusing, whenever we're down and we need to make a comeback. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you're gonna have to press. Okay, we gotta wake up. Let's say that one more time. Say it like you mean it. Hey, you're gonna have to press. Okay, now we're awake. We are awake. All right, you're gonna have to press. You're gonna have to press. Let's look at the next verse. The persistence of the press. Next one is verse 13, the strategy of the press. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Paul's always a little humble, a little arrogant. I have not considered that I have already made my faith my own. But one thing I do, he's actually going to say two things, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what lies ahead. Here is the strategy. Stop right there. Stop reading. Here's the strategy. He's got two things that you need to think about when it comes time, when you're called to press on something, when you're called to press through something and you're a little bit stalled out. Forget what's behind you and strain toward what's ahead. Let's break down those two things. Does anybody in here think it is difficult to forget the past? Right? Hard. Only a few of us. I think everybody probably feels that way. It is hard to forget the past. In fact, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves defined by our past. Maybe not outwardly, maybe ever so subtly, but things that happen to you, conversations that take place about you, if you're in middle school or high school or even college in this room, that animal is racing all the time, all the gossip, all the drama, all the social media pressure, all the things, right, that you think people are saying, and you internalize all those things, and suddenly you have this picture of yourself that's really not reality because you think somebody said that about you. And don't you think as adults we fall into that trap sometimes? God help us to move past that. But when we think about forgetting what's behind, bad examples that we've been given, God, Paul says here, forget that stuff. If you grew up with a poor example of a dad, a poor example of a mom, a poor example of a family unit or a boss that you've encountered along the way, you've got to forget those examples and strain toward what's ahead. Bad experiences in life will also drown you. Talking about something defining you forever. Don't we base some of our logic and thinking on things that we've experienced and then we carry that into the future and we say, and we carry it with our, in our present and we say, well, this is how I'm gonna operate because this happened to me. When I was a senior in high school, I was working on scholarships. Some of you seniors in here, you just constant. I got two more years. I think actually it starts before then. Is that right? Right? Okay. All you senior moms are going to have to pass down your wisdom to all of us that are not there yet. But when I was a senior, one of the avenues I was pursuing was a military career. I know, don't laugh. My kids are probably going to be like, what? What are you talking about? So in my high school, we had Prepare to be Impressed. Prepare to be Impressed. We were the largest Air Force ROTC in the world, not the nation. The world. Isn't that impressive? Who in here doesn't know what ROTC is? No, all the kids are like, what the heck? No, my kids didn't know what that was either. Okay, ROTC. I honestly don't even know what that stands for, but it is basically a junior military unit in your high school. So there was an Air Force base close by. All the high schools had it. We were the largest, okay? So I was like, well, maybe I'll do that. They're gonna give me money. I can go to college on them and then serve for 4 years and be done, right? How hard can this be? So I decided to go out for the scholarship. So my dad takes me down to this college to do the interview. Now the interview is several different layers. So it's like a written test, you know, it's like academic, it's knowledge about the Air Force, and then there's a physical test. Well, at that point in my life, I was not athletic at all. Zero. Like no physical exertion whatsoever anywhere happening, okay? But I just thought, well, how hard can it be? I mean, I can run. I have two legs. It's just a sprint thing. How hard can this be? So it was a sprint. It was like going from here to the back door, like 10 legs, wind sprints, right? So me, I'm like, I'm always, Tim's like, you always think you can do things you can't do. So I'm like, well, I can do this. Let's go. So I take off like a rocket to that sprinting. And I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, man, I'm killing it on the first four legs. So good, feeling so good about myself. My dad, the recruiter, they're standing over. The guy's got his little chalkboard out, you know, his little clipboard. He's writing things down. And then suddenly my body is like, well, I don't know what you're doing, but we don't do this. Like, anybody ever feel like that when you decide, I'm going to work out January 1st, and your body's like, oh, no, honey, we don't do that, right? No. So my quads literally, like, turned to mush, like mashed potatoes, jelly. Like, they just seized up, and I literally crumpled to the ground in epic failure. Yes. Isn't that sad? I just crumpled. I mean, can I get an amen that there's nothing funnier than watching someone fall? I mean, it's true. Just try to be nice. It's true. It's funny. You ever look up YouTube videos of people like epic falls? It's so funny, right? I fall to the ground. My dad rushes over and I'm like, oh, I'm going to finish. But I just jogged ever so lightly back and forth the rest of those sprints. Needless to say, I did not get the scholarship. Shocker. I was not offered that scholarship. So God had a different plan for my life. My point is this. I now, as a 41-year-old adult, love exercise. I've run a couple of races. I did not fall in love with running, as all the people said I would, by the way. I don't like that very much. But I do enjoy exercise. Now, had I based my decision to try that as an adult on my experience as an 18-year-old girl, I would never have done anything else. I would never have run. I would never have walked into a gym. I would never have considered it. Now, when I gained the freshman 40, I did. In college, I was like, oh, I have to exercise okay, that's not going to work. So what I'm saying is I learned along the way, I enjoy this. It's a hobby of mine. It's also a way for me to stay healthy, but I would never, ever have tried it had I let that experience define that part of my life. Bad experiences we can carry with us forever. Hurtful words, past offenses, all these things. What Paul is saying is take all that stuff, all the bad, and forget it. It's behind you. That's not where your focus needs to be. In order to make your faith your own, because Christ made you his own, here's some things we're gonna have to do. We're gonna have to forget that stuff. And instead, what we're gonna do is literally turn from looking at all the things that have defined us through the years and really like taking that with us like a nice playback, right? We push play on the tape recorder and it just like we carry it into our present, we carry it into our future, and we say, here I am, but here's all my stuff too. It's a therapy session this morning, right? We gotta forget that stuff. And the next thing he says is, strain toward what is ahead. Strain toward what is ahead. When I think of the word strain, I think of someone putting forth so much effort that sweat beads begin forming on your forehead and they fall out of your hairline onto your cheek, and you're exerting so much effort into this. You're straining, you're reaching. When someone runs a race or someone is competing in something physically, metaphorically, spiritually speaking, when you're straining to reach for something, Paul says, you're not just gonna reach for it, you're gonna strain, which means you're gonna put some effort into it. You're gonna put some passion into it. You're gonna have to really reach for that in order to forget everything that's behind you. When I think about parenting, motherhood, as we're talking about moms here today, I called my mom early this morning and I said, you know, I get it. I think I get it now. Like, I have teenagers. I get it, right? You guys ever feel like that? Like, I didn't know all the things my mom did, right? You wake up when you're a kid and everything's magically done. Is anybody? And now I'm like, oh, she got up really early. She stayed up really late. She was never really sat down. If you think about those, does anybody know what I mean? And now as an adult, as a mother, I get it. Mothering is hard. It's not super easy. But what I'm saying is when we think about straining for our kids, straining for them, I just think if my kids could open my heart and see what I have for them, see what dreams, the potential that I see is out there, if they will learn to strain for it, the love, the goals, the ways that I feel like their gifts and talents could be used, if they could just see what I see when I look at them, would it change them? Straining in motherhood, straining, reaching toward what is ahead. So when we talk about the reach of the press, the reach of the press, arms outstretched, stride elongated, focused and determined, undeterred from what's out in front, and that effort being there. One thing I do know, the press in life, the persistence in the press, straining in the press, that's inspiring to people. That's inspiring to me when I look around. Average effort isn't really inspiring, right? But somebody pushing through something and you're watching that on the sidelines, that's inspiring. When my dad passed away unexpectedly 7 years ago, he was 58 years old. He died of a massive heart attack mowing his lawn, which is, by the way, how he always wanted to go. He would say it all the time. I just think God gives you the desires of your heart. I'm just saying. So he died unexpectedly. Of course, it was terrible and really difficult. And my mom now is left with, she was 57. She had very little education. She had no job. She had no career. And she had to figure out how to live life. Very little life insurance. There was not anything that was going to carry her through the rest of her years. So we all sat down and we worked through. We kind of started making lists. What are you good at? What do you like? What comes naturally to you? What do you enjoy? And we decided with her to land on nursing. So not only did my mom go back to school at 57 years old, she went back to nursing school. Anybody nurses in here know how difficult that is? Nursing school is hard stuff. She went back to nursing school at 57 years old, and she finished in 3 years and had a job waiting for her at the end of it. Isn't God so good? But let me tell you what's inspiring about my mom's story, that part of her story, is that it was not easy. It was hard, and it was emotional, and it was draining, and it was taxing, because at the same time that she decides now to go back to school after 35 years being out of school, she's also mourning the loss of her husband, her spouse of 39 years, that she never thought she'd be in this predicament. She lost her house. She lost a lot of things. She lost her pastor's wife position. You think about someone like that. But what was inspiring about mom is that she pushed through. She decided to press. She decided to strain toward what God was putting out in front of her and not focus on all of this. But the only way she walked through that was to push herself on those days when she would call and she would be bawling because she's walking into a test that she doesn't think she's going to pass. And we would walk through that together. That's inspiring. If someone is born a billionaire baby and they grow up to be a billionaire, is that inspiring? No. But if someone grows up with nothing in a box, and they claw their way through education, they get educated, they get a job, they have an above and beyond work ethic that takes them to the top, and they become a billionaire. Now that's inspiring. That's a great story, right? Average effort is not inspiring, but the press is inspiring in life. And impacting your family and the world around you is what God is calling us to do. A little Pastor Tim phrase here that he gave me yesterday, the wordsmith that he is. Inspiration needs perspiration. Can I get an amen? Carrie, I don't know if you know, I'm a wordsmith. I have a phrase for you. So he said, inspiration needs perspiration. You guys can just all tell him that later. Do you guys ever notice his alliteration? Like, he's very detailed about all the C's, all the R's, P's, W's, whatever the letter of the day is. Have you ever noticed he does that in his sermons? This is just an aside. I think it's funny. He literally walks around the house talking like that sometimes. Okay, Dad. All right, so we have the press, the strategy of the press. Now the motivation of the press, the motivation of the press. Verse 14. Here's this famous verse that most of you have probably heard in some form or fashion. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's read that again. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So the first word that sticks out to me here is the word goal. We all hear that word, right? Whether you're in school, whether you're at home, whether you're whatever job you're in, your career, corporate, if you're a teacher, if you're an administrator, if you're a stay-at-home mom, you got goals. You're trying to get to the end of the day, right? A stay-at-home mom stuff is hard stuff. Don't you ever ask a stay-at-home mom if she works. No. Of course she does. She works harder than anybody else does. I'm just saying, and for free, right? And for free. So we have the word goal here in all of your goals that you list, right? If you're a person that likes lists, surely you've made goals in your life, whether for family, work, career, whatever it is, friends, relationships. Is Christ a part of your list? Is the fact that Christ has made you his own and now has a future, and we're gonna get to in a minute, a calling for you, is that part of your goals? When we set goals, we have to take action every day to move toward them, right? We have to take action every day. So in your everyday life, do you find yourself with your goal like out in front? You can see it out there, and you're taking action steps toward that. If you have neglected your spiritual walk, you don't have spiritual goals. You don't really think about it until something bad happens. That's when most of us think about it. Something awful, something hard, something unexpected, somebody hurts you, and suddenly you're picking up your Bible to try to find a good psalm verse that'll like calm you down a little bit, right? But what God is saying is, in the midst of life, when you have this calling out in front of you, and you have your eye on that goal, that's gonna help you be able to press, because the motivation has to be there. The motivation for you to press has to be there. We have to decide today to be persistent in the press when it gets here. One of the things that I want for my kids is that they've already made a decision about what they're gonna do when they're placed in a situation where their morals are compromised, that they already know the answer before they get there. They're not deciding in that moment what their answer is going to be. You know what I mean? But they've already thought through that scenario enough to be able to make a smart and godly decision. Same thing with us. Our motivation has to be the goal, the prize of the high calling. The prize of the high calling. The prize is Christ. Go back to verse 12. He made me his own, so I'm gonna make him my own. The prize is out there. What we get at the end, do we view Christ as the prize? Because our calling is wrapped up in that. And everyone sitting in this room has a calling. Everyone. You don't have to be on the stage or the microphone to have a calling. And seasonally, your calling might shift a little bit. If you're a mom of a little one, your calling is gonna be one thing, but then when they grow, your calling is gonna look a little different. If you're in one job, you've got a calling there in that workplace. Believe me, you do. You just have to look for it and open your eyes. But God may move you to a different place, and your calling may shift. You may be an employee that becomes the employer. Believe me, that calling is completely different. God has got a calling on your life. He's asking you to fulfill it. If you're not fulfilling your calling, it won't get fulfilled. You're the only one that can decide that. And in that, let me just say, if your motivation is tied up in your feelings, you've missed it. Let's think about that for a minute. The motivation of the prize of the high calling of God does not change. It is literally like black and white. It is as real as a newspaper page. It doesn't change. That's facts, facts, facts. What changes is our feelings. So if our motivation changes with the wind like our feelings do, can I get an amen? When mom is in a mood, you better just go to your room, all right? It'll be over in about 30 minutes. Just take a breath, everybody. I'm just saying, let's just be real in here today. But if your motivation is attached to your feelings, you've got a problem you need to be aware of. That the motivation doesn't change, because Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change with the shifting sand. James chapter 1 says, when you ask me for something, don't doubt like the waves of the sea tossed back and forth by the wind, but ask in belief. Let's have a belief so deeply rooted in us that our motivation is out there. And when we're straining toward that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, because he doesn't change, we do. We're the ones that miss the mark. We're the ones that keep going back over here to the past and picking up all that stuff that hurt us and taking it with us over here to this place where we're supposed to be focused on what he's got for us. The persistence of the press has to override our feelings. The persistence of the press and the power that he gives us has to override all the doubts and insecurities and mental distress and battles of the mind that we face every single day. You're gonna have to press to get there. Because here's the thing, the world is against you. Have you figured that out yet, teenagers? The world is against you, right? You're gonna come places like this, you're gonna find encouragement, you're gonna find hope, you're gonna find light. The world is against you. The words of others are gonna be against you. Don't let that play up in your mind and set up shop and now define you forever. The weakness of your flesh is against you. Does anybody know what I mean about that? The weakness of your flesh, meaning you're your own worst enemy at times. Nobody else has to really be present there. You just got it going on with yourself, right? That's hard stuff. Let's look at the last verse, 16. The last verse we're gonna cover today. The persistence of the press, the strategy of the press, and the motivation of the press. And look what Paul says to end it all out in verse 16. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let us hold true to what we have attained. It's easy to find a passion in life. If I asked you all right now, you could maybe say out, if I said, what's your passion? You might have one or two things that come to mind. Maybe what you spend your time and effort and energy on. Those are your passions. It's easy to define what our passions might be. It's easy to come in here every week and find joy in God. It's easy to come in here and be moved by the worship and find our joy in the Lord. It's easy. It's easy even to find inspiration in life if we're looking. But the hard part is holding on to it. When the hard, dark, tough stuff comes, the hard part is holding on. And Paul is saying here, listen, when you really want to pick up your past and you want to remember it and you want it to be your friend, I want you to hold on to everything you know about God. Everything that he's taught you along the way, hold on to it. That means you're going to have to fight for it. That means you're going to have to be sure that nothing else wins out. That means you have to be persistent in your faith. You have to be persistent in your walk. You have to say, I'm not going to be involved in that because it takes me down places I don't need to go. You're going to have to go ahead and put boundaries up for toxic people in your life who are constantly trying to steal away everything that God has done. If that is you today, let me encourage you. It is not ungodly to put up boundaries in your life in relationships that suck the life out of you. That is okay. At any age, it's actually smart and wise to do so. Guard your heart. You're gonna have to fight for it. You're gonna have to fight for it in order to hold on to all that God has done. The persistence to press has spiritual ramifications that we won't know until we get to the other side. Meaning we're done with this life and God calls us on to the next. Let me say that again so you understand it. If you haven't heard anything else or if you're not paying attention, let me say this right now. The persistence to press has spiritual ramifications for you, for your family, for the people that love and know you. When you feel defeated, press on. When you feel alone and no one on this earth understands where you're at, press on. When you feel like the world has chosen to come against you in a collaborative effort, press on. When you don't know how you're gonna make bills the next month, press on. When you're looking for a new job because you've been unemployed and you really don't know, your savings is running out, you're not sure what's gonna happen next, press on in God and he will get you there. When you feel like God is never gonna use you again because of the mistakes that you have made, let me tell you, press on through that. That is the voice of the enemy coming against you, because in Jesus' name, he can restore and redeem you to a place where you are effective for the kingdom of God. When God speaks in our lives, press on through the doubt, because that doubt is something we all struggle with. And in Jesus' name, we stand here today, Lord. Would you pray with me? God, we ask you to do a work in us today, that as we continue on this Mother's Day. We celebrate each other, celebrate our moms with lunch, with games, with movies, with time together. Lord, that today we would recall the words you've given us here in these few moments. Lord, that we would not be marked by weak faith. We would be marked by faith that says, no matter what someone says about me, I know who I am in God. He already made me his own, and his prize is right out in front of me. I'm straining toward it. That no matter what comes your way, no matter what barrier comes up, if you've made a decision and suddenly something's there stopping you, no matter what that is, you're gonna say, no, I know what the promise of God said. I know I have to hurdle over that. I know I have to strain and I have to put some effort in, but I'm gonna do it because God has called me to that, because there's a prize for a high calling on my life. And today, God, as I go through the rest of this day, today is the day I start making actions toward the calling that you have on my life, to be persistent in the press that you've called me to be persistent in my walk. God, change us today. Help us to see you clearly and grab hold of your promises. Would you stand and worship with us?